Shall we now turn to read God's word? And our reading this evening is in the Old Testament and in the book of Joshua and chapter 14. The book of Joshua and chapter 14. Let us read and hear God's word. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and a half tribe on the other side Jordan. But unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I'm 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims. And the land had rest from war. Amen, and may God add his blessing and give to us understanding again in that reading of his own holy word. We join together once more in the praise of our God, singing this time from the words of Psalm 130. Psalm 130, the whole of that psalm. Lord, from the depths to thee I cried. My voice, Lord, do thou hear, and to my supplications voice give an attentive ear. Lord, who shall stand if thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, but yet with thee forgiveness is that feared thou mayest be. I wait for God, my soul doth wait, my hope is in his word. More than they that for morning watch, my soul waits for the Lord. I say, more than they that do watch the morning light to see, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with him mercies be. And plenteous redemption is ever found with him, and from all his iniquities he Israel shall redeem. And again, just focus on verse 5 particularly and carry it with you into our meditation in a short time. I wait for God, my soul doth wait, my hope is in his word. From a reading there of Caleb, that is the very same thing that Caleb did. He trusted time and time again in what God had said. Psalm 130 then, Lord, from the depths to thee I cried. Will you turn with me tonight, as the Lord would lead us and bless us, to verse 11 of chapter 14 of Joshua. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 11. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. This morning we were thinking of some of the difficulties that can arise in old age, and particularly in old age in the Christian. Here we were looking at Psalm 71, and there's the testimony there of a Christian who has experience and shares that experience with those who listen to what he has to say. And there's a lot to be gained from sitting and listening to those who have been before us in the Christian life. So often there is, not so often, sometimes there is that dismissing of those older ones along the way, as if they have passed it and have nothing significant to contribute anymore to the Christian cause. And the one great thing that such a Christian has is a whole wealth of experience that can be shared and is profitable to those who are willing to listen. We have the saying, and it stands in the Christian life as it does in any other sphere of life, there is no need for every one of us to reinvent the wheel. And we can learn from others who have been before us. And such was it this morning. The problems of old age, there's very simple ones that come upon us. We know the way in which old people look for protection and for safety. As we become more and more weak, so we look for that more and more. And so it is with the Christian, wanting to be more and more protected and safe, especially with the spiritual battles that are highlighted for us in Psalm 71, Psalm 25, where the devil goes fishing back over the years and the things that we've done wrong long ago. And there's the psalmist looking for protection about these things. Also in old age there's the danger of and the problem about isolation. We're more and more on our own than ever before. More of the day belongs to us, and we've got to fill it. And if we've done it once, we keep on repeating that same thing day after day. Isolation is a problem in old age. And again, we assured ourselves the Lord's comfort and confidence to his people, I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. And then, of course, there is always the problem of usefulness. As we get on in life, we sometimes think, well, what's the point? What have I done? What's my life achieved? And again, we have to remind ourselves that we have different forms of ministry, different forms of activity as we go on in the Christian life. And as we do engage in these forms of ministry, so that brings with it a new dimension to our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, whom we seek to serve. That's one voice of old age. When you listen to Joshua himself, he also brings a voice of old age and a wealth of experience when he speaks in chapter 23, verse 14, and he says, giving advice to these tribes that have been displenish back to where they came from. And Joshua says, not one word has failed of all the promises which the Lord has given. Not one word has fallen to the ground disappointed. And that's the encouragement they take with them as they go back home to their own lands to cultivate and to look after them families. That very testimony we read even this past Wednesday night in 1 Kings chapter 8. There Solomon, when he blesses the people, blesses them with that very same truth that God's word is reliable and God is consistent to what he has said and done with you and to you in the past. The history of the nation brought them to that conclusion. The consistent testimony of Joshua, the consistent testimony of every Christian at the end of his or her days. They were never let down by what the Lord had said to them. And so we come here tonight to yet another voice of old age speaking with us. Here is another person speaking, and he is giving testimony to that truth that Joshua just mentioned to us. Not one thing has fallen, not one thing has left the table and fallen to the ground unfulfilled. And here is Caleb illustrating that in quite a remarkable way. They've come to divide up the land. They're doing it by lot, we're told in verse 2. And as it was going on, Caleb comes and stands out and speaks up. And he claims the promise of the land that was given to him 45 years before. There is faith in the promise of God that Joshua has spoken about. Here it is, being illustrated in a flesh and blood example. Not one thing has failed or fallen. Yes, and here he is, 45 years later, claiming that very promise when the land is being divided up. Come back to the problems of old age. We know what that means ourselves. With the passing of the years, our memory becomes dull. We find it difficult sometimes to remember things back over the years. When old age comes, our strength is weakened and abates. We're not just up to doing the things that we once were able to do. But not Caleb. He's kept strong because he's got work yet to do. And in old age, sometimes we're quite comfortable and confident, passing any mantle of responsibility to younger ones who are coming behind us. We're quite prepared to take a more settled, backward position and influence and let others get on with the battle and with the fight. Not Caleb. Here he is, 85 years old, and he's still fresh. He's still sharp as these years so long ago when he received the promise of the land that was his. And having been given the promise, he held on to it. And he held on to it. And he held on to it for these 45 years. I want us tonight to look at this man's life. We've looked at it through different glasses and through different headings and through different texts. But I want to try to be a little bit different this evening. And the first thing I want us to think about is the strength of his faith. I then want to think about the source of his faith. And then I want us to think about the scope of his faith. First of all, let's think about the strength of this man's faith. Caleb's mind and Caleb's memory can run back over 45 years to a single event long gone in the past. There were only two people in all of that gathering that is represented in Joshua 14. There were only two people who could remember it still, because there was only two people present that are still breathing in that land. Caleb and Joshua. There was unfinished business done so long ago, back in Numbers chapter 14, when the people of Israel gathered together this delegation of spies, sent them out into the land to find out what it was like and what they were going into. They went out and they assessed the land for about 6 weeks. And when you go back to Numbers 13, they came home and they presented a report, painting it in glorious colors of what was there waiting for them. But of all the 12 that went out, 10 of them said, there's a qualification. There's this problem and there's that problem and there's the next problem. The cities are huge and well defended and the armies are well resourced and they're giants and they're well versed in battle. And so it went on. And whenever that report came out, the heart of the people, we're told, melted away. How could they possibly fight against such an army and a nation well versed in battle and tactics and resources? It simply would be no contest. But Caleb and Joshua went against that flow. Caleb was utterly persuaded that the Lord could and would bring them into that land. He was utterly persuaded that God was able to fulfill his purpose and nobody could resist it concerning his plans for his people. And out of that conviction he spoke. There was always the temptation to fall in line with the rest. There was always the temptation to compromise and just to make life easy for himself to fit in with all the other 10. But he didn't. He stood out from the crowd. Go to chapter 14 and Joshua 14, and read again verse 11. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And the way in which that's constructed in the Hebrew is again putting the I in an emphatic position. That's what they did. But this is what I did. I wholly followed the Lord. It comes out again and again in verse 8, verse 9, verse 14. Joshua and Caleb especially. This was the strength of their faith. They followed the Lord. They went in and they spied out the land and they made an assessment. They came back and they gave a report. And all the time the emphasis was upon God's ability to do what God had said. They constantly applied their trust and their confidence in God. They constantly applied their conviction that God would fulfill what he has promised and spoken to his people. That's what they did away back in Numbers chapter 14. And now we come to Joshua chapter 14. And 45 years have gone underneath the bridges. And that faith which he had then, it's not locked in history. It's not consigned to a distant event and a far off experience. That faith which he had then in God's ability still gripped him, had an effect upon him, and he was still waiting. There's unfinished business to be done. With Caleb, there was his utter conviction that this is the way of the Lord and that he, Caleb, is involved in it. The strength of his faith It didn't abate, it didn't evaporate, it wasn't eroded with all the years of travel since it was given. That strength of his faith gave him courage. Martin Luther says that here I stand, I can do no other. And if it was true about Martin Luther, it most certainly is true about Caleb. He stood alone against the grain. It almost cost him his life. He was to the front and he was the spokesperson of the two of them. And we're told, for example, if you go back to Numbers 14, we're told there, verses 6 through 10, the way in which when they gave the report, such was the hostility of the rest of the nation that they were quite prepared and they were on the verge of picking up stones simply to kill and silence the voice of Caleb and Joshua. It needed courage to speak up like that. And that courage came from his conviction, the strength of his faith in his God. But as we've just seen there, that very faith which he had and that stance which he took also leads to isolation. The two of them were separate, apart from all the rest. And every one of the nation was ganging up against them, even to threaten their lives. We have that saying, and it's in a hymn, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. That's the kind of isolation that Caleb had, but it's very difficult to take it and to make it, and it can be most demanding upon those who do it. It's not easy, and it comes only from the strength of his faith in his God, a great God. How we need that strength of Christian character today to stand up for what God says. How we need it in our nation, how we need it in politics, how we need it in business, how we need it in finances, in the banks, in politics. We hear it in the press. There's so much erosion and there's so much of expediency, and people think, well, can I get away with it? No longer is it right or is it wrong. The simple question is, can I get away with it? And if somebody stands up and says and speaks for a spiritual principle, so often that person is isolated. Yes, and perhaps even threatened in the same way as Caleb was. And there's always that danger of anything for a quiet life. It applies in Christian work, in church work, in preaching. Again, to speak of and to say quite clearly and plainly from the pulpits of our land, the emphasis that should be placed upon sin, and the way in which not everybody is getting to heaven, even although that's the way people so often think. And the way in which there is a heaven and a hell clearly, plainly set out before people. That kind of robust preaching so often attracts hostility, leads to isolation. But that's what is required for the good of our nation and our people today. Paul was of that same kind of character as Caleb. He believed deeply. He held on tenaciously. He spoke loudly of spiritual truths. And he suffered for it. He was in prison several times, and when he wrote 2 Timothy, he was in prison facing death, and it was only a matter of moments before it came. And he asked some people to come and help him, just to be with him, just for company in these last moments of his life. And when you read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, we're told there that nobody came. He was alone. But he was not lonely. Because we're told there that the Lord was with him. The comfort and the strength which the Lord gave to him in these moments. The strength of his faith. The Lord would not allow that to pass. The Lord took note of it on the part of Paul. The promise that is given to us, they that honor me, I will honor them. So it is with Paul. So it was with Caleb. So it can be with us. The strength of his faith. Yes, it may bring isolation. Yes, it can instill and motivate courage. But it can be very costly to walk that lonely path, as Paul himself knew, as Caleb was aware of, when they tried to pick up stones to throw him. And it won't be any different with us today. There will be the same kind of threat and hostility when we cut a stance and make a stand for things Christian and of our Lord. So that's the first thing we have here, is the strength of his faith. But I want us to move on and think of, yes, but what's the source of all this? How do you explain that man's life? How do you explain the way that he lived and what he did? How can you explain 45 years? 45 years holding on to what he held on to. Something gripped him. And something gripped him hard and tight. And did not and would not let him go. He could see so many changes with those that were around him in these 45 years in the wilderness. He saw people coming and he saw people living and he saw people dying. He saw the change that the years might bring, but curiously, he didn't see any of these changes in himself. He was aware of his strength being sustained because there was something yet for him to do. What was the source of his faith, and what was it that is the key to his life? What is it that explains why he spoke and lived and continued the way he did? We have it repeated time and time and time again in this chapter. He keeps on the one theme. He doesn't move from it. He doesn't budge. He doesn't shift. He keeps on focusing upon it time and again. The Lord said it. The Lord said it. The Lord said it. 5 times in this chapter, in his argument and in the presentation of his case, that's what he comes back to, and that's all that he's got. Who said it? And what God said. He has got no reason to go any further than that. But what he has, not only does he grip it, but that same truth grips him. Nothing else to stand on. And nothing else is sure. This is the way of true faith. If you can put it this way, he drops anchor. He moors his life's purpose. He drops anchor on what God has said and the promise God has given. He doesn't depend on feelings or emotions. He doesn't depend upon circumstances, because all of these things were hostile to him. Nothing was pointing in the way of the fulfillment of this promise. All he had was a promise of God. But you know, when that's all that we've got, that is enough. That's the source of his faith. That's the source of his courage, of his strength. That's the explanation of his life. That's why he was the way he was. Because there was something deep down in his gut. There was something that grabbed hold of his bones. There's something that would not let him go, that visited him and kept on reminding him and prompting him every single day for these 45 years. God said, I'm going to have that mountain. God said it. That's enough for me. Yes, the source of his faith was the fact and simple fact that God had said it. And as it applied to Caleb like that, so it stands the same for ourselves. Simply for you and me to hold on to a promise and take it like Caleb took it and say, God said it. That's all I've got to go on. That's what faith is. Simply taking God at his word. Resting on it. Trusting in it, because God has said it. And not only do we have the word that God has said, that promise that was given to him, there is also a supporting argument, a supporting feature in the way in which God not only said it, but God kept him. His own preservation. That's what we have in verse 10. God has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. These 45 years he was a marked man. These 45 years his life was tied up with the promises. He could look back over these 45 years of the different wars that they've been through. He could look back over the different experiences in the wilderness. He could look back and there were innumerable times when he could see his life was laid on the line. But every time, God kept him safe and delivered him out of whatever situation he was in. He could see the activity of God's hand and God's involvement in his life. And he saw that and he was encouraged by it. And the longer things went on and the longer his years went on, it wasn't, as we said there at the beginning, the way in which age dulls your memory. For Caleb it was quite the reverse. The more that he saw of God's involvement and God's helping of him and strengthening him and keeping him and protecting him, the more conviction grew strong with him. He's got something to do. And the Lord has given him a promise. And the Lord is going to fulfill it through him. The strength and the stamina that God gave to him. The source of his faith. He could look into the past and he saw, yes, the promise God had given. He looked into the past and he could see the activity that God was engaged in. He can take it and he applies it right now in the present. Give me this mountain. Claiming it there and then. But he doesn't stop there. Because having claimed the mountain, theoretically, he then goes out and possesses it, practically. He goes out and he fights and he battles against those giants. And he does so with that same conviction that has been with him for 45 years. This is what God has given to me. The strength of his faith. Resting on these simple involvements that God had in his life. And we can especially focus upon what God has promised and God has given to us to strengthen us. It might be years and years upon years before we see it being fulfilled. But surely Caleb is an encouragement to us to do that very thing, to wait upon the Lord, to wait and to hope in him. And the experience of Joshua 23:14 was true in Caleb's life. And it can be with ourselves also. Yes, there was the strength of his faith. Yes, there's the source of his faith. The third thing I want us to think about before we finish, the scope of his faith. Here he is, he's building up an argument. He's setting out the things of history. He's rehearsing them and he's giving them bullet points. 1, 2, 3. These are the things that God has done. These are the things that God has given to me. And now he's coming to his conclusion. And we can almost hold our breath and we're waiting there. What's he going to ask for? How much? How big? Is there going to be any adjustment in what he says? Or his confidence, or his request. Is there going to be any adjustment? Because now look at him. He's so much older than the rest of us. He's had to wait so long. He's now so much older. He's 85 years old. Is there going to be any adjustment in what he says? Because of his age? No, there's not. Look at the scope of his faith. He says, give me this mountain. How can you explain that choice of a senior citizen in Israel's nation? He has got the promise. He's had the preservation. And he is not dissuaded. No matter how difficult the task is. He could almost say to Joshua, you remember what happened there in Numbers 14? The way in which they sneered at us. The way in which they whimpered at us. The way in which they were filled with apprehension. The way in which they were scared stiff when we spoke about going to fight against these giants in the land. Do you remember what they said and the way they treated us? Everything was stacked against us. All the negative things, including the pile of stones they were going to throw. The talk of the day and the talk of the camp was one theme only. You can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. So therefore the scope of Caleb's faith turns and he says to Joshua, very well, give me that very thing. Give me that very thing that was the source of all of that disquiet long time ago. He turns and he says, give me this mountain. The difficulty of the task didn't put him off. The obstacles that he could see did not deter him. No matter what barriers he could envisage there along the way, he saw none of them as hindering him journeying to the promise that God had given him. No matter how big the task might be, no matter how big the object is, no matter what the Lord has given to you and to me, difficult it might be, but if it is embraced in a promise, and a promise that God has given specifically to his people, then let us have the same scope and breadth of faith as Caleb had, and go out and go forward and claim it. And as he went out and as he went forward to claim it, we have in verse 12 something which I want us just to think of and linger on as we come to a close. He says, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest. You heard, Joshua, you heard. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. If so be. What is he saying in using that phrase? Let's be very careful. Caleb is not introducing any doubt. He's not saying, well, if the Lord will do it, then it might possibly just happen for me. He's holding on to the promise. He's recognizing, though, the sovereignty of God. He's confident, but he's not complacent. What's he doing? He is doing this. Yes. God has spoken. Yes, I'm holding on to what God has given me. But I don't know. I don't know how that is going to be fulfilled. I don't know what my involvement might be. I don't know the time scale. I don't know the commitment. I don't know the casualty, the consequences along the way. I don't know. But I'm waiting on the pleasure, and I'm waiting on the delight of the Lord. I am waiting on the pleasure of the Lord to do what he has said, and to do it his way. I trust in the venture, and I'm waiting for the victory. But the little day-to-day details, I don't know. And how often the minute details of the Lord fulfilling his promises to his people, how often the minute details surprise us and bring added delight and joy, strength and confidence in our faith as we see the unfolding of God's purposes in fulfillment of his promises. The scope of this man's faith: give me this mountain. And he waited upon the Lord to fulfill it. Psalm 130 verse 5. I waited upon the Lord my God. My hope is in his word. So therefore we have this great example for ourselves. Caleb, an old man. Promise of 45 years ago. 45 years ago. But he's still holding on to it. It was unpopular then. It was dangerous to do so then. But he didn't shy away from the difficulty. He didn't give the obstacles a body swerve. He didn't compromise, back off, sit down. He was confident always that God would do what God had said. And he wasn't disappointed. And the same is true also for ourselves. That is, we were thinking about it just recently at the prayer meeting on Wednesday night, Jeremiah 33:17-27. Nothing, but nothing is too hard for the Lord. When we see his promises being fulfilled, it stimulates our faith and it stimulates our joy. And it breeds confidence for yet more along the way. Whatever we might meet in life or in death, whatever is laid out for us, our God is more than equal whatever comes into the life of his people. Difficulties might abound. Obstacles might be round our feet. There may be no indication whatsoever of anything being fulfilled. But all that we've got is a promise. Then, like Caleb, all that we've got is enough. And what we can do is hold on for it year after year. And we don't know when, and we don't know how. But such is the conviction of Caleb that we seek to share with him. We have together this conviction that God will do it. And that is the advice and the experience of an old man who's been 85 years in life and 45 years holding on to a promise. His voice speaks to us still today, and he encourages us to follow his example and do what he leaves for us. Trust and hold on to what God has given, because what God has given, God will do. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, as we fix our gaze upon thyself and thy character, and as we hold on to the promises of thy word, may we do so with the same conviction as thy saints of old have shown us, holding on to what thou hast said with the conviction that thou wilt do it. And even in our land, and in our time, and in our lives, Lord, may we see fulfilled something of what thou hast promised and perhaps given to any one of us. And as we see it being fulfilled, may that faith in thee be strengthened, and may that joy and praise of thee be deepened. Deal with us in thy grace, and pardon us our sin. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 119. And again, we're taking up something of what we've just been thinking about in verse 49. Psalm 119 at verse 49. Remember, Lord, thy gracious word, thou to thy servant spake, which for a ground of my sure hope thou causest me to take. This word of thine my comfort is in mine affliction, for in my straits I am revived by this thy word alone. The men whose hearts with pride are stuffed did greatly me deride, yet from thy straight commandments I have not turned aside. Thy judgments righteous, O Lord, which thou of old forth gave, I did remember, and myself by them comforted have. Psalm 119, 49 to 52, four stanzas. Remember, Lord, thy gracious word. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.